Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on May 21st of 2021. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
We're here to talk about some of the anime we've been watching, episodes by episodes, including some of which that even air on Toonami. So, let's just jump right into it, because we've got a new show to discuss. Well, a returning show. We have Dr. Stone. But first we have My Hero Academia episode 90, the actual start of this season, because the previous one was basically filler. So, what happens here essentially is there's a bunch of stuff happening in this episode. We have that Dobby guy he ends up fighting against Endeavor and Hawks, but ends up leaving when another one comes out. We find out, I can't remember if we found this out at the end of the previous season or not, but if we didn't, it's a reminder that Hawks is pretending to work with the bad guys because he's working undercover, which is why he was meeting with
hang on. I think we just got
my internet connection just suddenly shorted out. Hang on. I'm gonna have to figure out how to handle this. We're back. So, my internet went out completely. So, the good news is it did get restored within maybe 15 minutes or so. This wasn't one of those times where you had to call to report it. I remember the time where there was a problem with the internet, or maybe it was the power. I can't remember. And Caldine, you know, had to go through all these like things. Hey, where are you? Blah blah blah, like a lengthy thing. And then it decided to tell you to say, well, there's a power outage in your area. We know about it. I'm just thinking, why didn't you just tell us that in the first place?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let me see if I can even remember what we were doing. We were talking about My Hero Academia, and I was mentioning about how Hawks is undercover. He's pretending to be a traitor and helping the bad guys. Then we get some stuff with Endeavor and his family, who mostly don't really like him because he was kind of a bad father. A really bad father. And
yeah. Did I miss the part where he was a bad father?
I think so. We got some of the information on that in the first or the second season. We mostly got the stuff of Todoroki's backstory. Because Todoroki was Endeavor's son. He's the guy with like the red and the white hair. Right, Todoroki, okay. I mean, not Endeavor. About that. I think we might have gotten some in the meantime, but I can't quite remember.
Well, what is the story? Just really fast.
Okay. Basically, he. Let me see how to explain it quick. I'm trying to remember exactly how much we know at this point.
Our
understanding is that he really viewed his family mostly as just a way to try to, because he was unable to surpass All Might, he decided, I know, I'll have a kid who will do it. And that resulted in him mostly ignoring and not treating very well the other kids, focusing all of his attention on Todoroki. But he was also not really nice to Todoroki either, because he like put all those like that desire to just surpass All Might onto him, and he also was physically abusive to his family, it seems.
Oh. Well, whenever you say Todoroki, you mean Shoto Todoroki,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah, they're all Todoroki, aren't they?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He's just always called Todoroki. It's so
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
It's so confusing in Japanese when you have multiple, when you have family members, and because people always call them by the last name.
Yeah.
Except when they don't. It's what's so confusing some times. Yeah, so we had that. That was the basic backstory. Also, and here's the confusing part, because they mention about Toya, one of his sons. The problem is it mentions something happened to him, but I'm not sure at this point if we know what happened. So,
Yeah, I'm not sure either.
It's especially because that's one of those cases where I don't, because it's one of those cases where you find something and then you've later find out, well, that it was more complex than that. So I'm like, at what point in the story were we with him?
Yeah.
So that was basically that with Endeavor, who seems to at least be trying to fix things up. And then we have Deku basically commune with the past avatars. I mean, commune with the past wielders of One for All, because he can do that now, apparently.
Yeah. That was rather weird. And he could also commune with the bad guy, too, couldn't he?
Could he? I thought the stuff when he was seeing of One of All for One was the memories of, because the first person who had One for All was the brother of All for One. And
Okay. Thank you for explaining that for me. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, they said, I was watching this and I was thinking, all the information, this, I think we already knew this, but you probably forgot all of it, so it was probably convenient for you. It's so annoying that their name, that Deku's quirk is One for All, and then the bad guy is All for One. I keep getting them, like, I have to always stop and think briefly to make sure I get it right.
Right.
Right, so that scattered explanation that was made worse by, well, internet stuff. My Hero Academia. So I thought this was a pretty good opening to the season.
Except it wasn't the first episode of the season. That's why this needed to be the first episode of the season, because it was a pretty good way of resetting everything, rather than what we got last week, which was like it was too confusing. So, and plus every single character had to be reintroduced no matter how insignificant they are, like Momo, for example. So I mean,
well, she's probably one of the more important characters in Class 1 I would actually think the ones that get less are stuff like, well, I mean, Invisible Girl gets basically no attention whatsoever.
I like Momo. Momo's one of my favorite characters, but she never does anything, you know? She just kind of stands around and cheerleads, you know?
I mean, she does do some stuff, but her biggest contributions are just, hey, I'm, because her quirk lets her, you know, pull things out of her, material things out of her body, which basically, plot wise, mostly amounts to, hey, look at all this stuff I made off screen. And then everyone's like, well, thanks. And then they use it. And then she's not mentioned again.
Yeah.
A bunch of stuff happened. It was decently interesting. At first I was a little not like great on it, but then I remembered, oh yeah, this is because I've seen this stuff, so I need to put myself in the frame of not having done so. I don't know, maybe I was also just a little burned by the first episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, on the whole, this was pretty decent. I'm not sure what I, if I, The weakest part was Deku and the previous one for all people. But other than that, yeah, it was interesting and fun. What did you think?
I thought it was a pretty good episode. I'm just really interested in this Todoroki family feud that seemed to be pretty interesting. And I got confused while I was watching it, thinking that that girl was Todoroki's sister or mother when it was actually his sister. So I had to get that straightened out. So anyway, it was a pretty good episode.
No, his mother's isn't at like the home. I don't think she's in like some sort of hospital because of like all the stuff that happened kind of gave her this major mental breakdown.
Oh, so, okay.
So I mean, she seems to be getting better, but yeah. Okay, so we had that. So then we have Dr. Stone episode 25. So in the vein of My Hero Academia and the second and Fire Force, they decide to start up the new season by engaging in a bunch of filler involving space food. They make space food, and that's the first half of the episode. I remember when we were watching this and you mentioned and you were confused and were saying, well, why are they doing this? And I'm like, well, I don't know. Maybe they just need good rations. And I look and I'm thinking, I don't remember this. What? So I look it up and I think this might have happened later on in the series. They might have made a space food thing, but I'm not sure. At any rate, even if they did, it was not at this point. So, after they get past that, we then have Gen and Senku make this plan. To the idea is they'll try to win over the people in Tsukasa's army by fooling them into thinking that I can't remember her name, that one famous pop star person who was on the satellite that was spared the stuff, the one, you know, who apparently married Senku's, he's not his actual biological father, but the person who raised him. I don't know why they specify that he's not Senku's biological father. That was such a weird thing to specify. Back then, the only thing I can think of is either one, there's going to be some big twist as to who Senku's father is, like maybe, oh, it's the person behind all of this, or that, or they just said, well, we might ship Senku with Kohaku at some point, and even though they're separated by like 3,000 years, it still might seem a little weird that she's that she would be one of the descendants of his father. So let's just nip that in the bud and have him be adopted. Anyway, so that's their plan to try to get everyone away from Tsukasa, and it's treated weirdly seriously. Like they're saying, well, we'll save everyone, but if we do this, then God will send us to hell. And I'm just like, where did that come from? Maybe it's some Japanese belief thing that would make sense in that context?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't get that. I was really confused. And, and plus, I don't understand. Like, are they being serious that they think that playing this music is going to solve things, or was that just meant to be a joke?
I think that's supposed to be their plan. It's a little more complicated. The idea is they'll use the music to try to prove to people that she's alive, and then again we'll imitate her voice for communications, and that'll convince everyone to that will then convince every one, oh, hey, the United States is actually fine, because she's telling them that because they know of her because she was really famous, and then they'll leave Tsukasa, and then, I mean, they're serious about it, but I'm not sure how serious we're supposed to take it, because I think Chrome as well, what are they going to do when they find out it's a lie? Sekou just said, who cares? They'll have left Tsukasa at that point. And I'm just like, I don't know, that seems like a very serious flaw.
Yeah, so could you please refresh my memory since it's been so long? Like, why did everyone get turned to stone again?
We do not know yet. We just know that something happened, this big wave hit everywhere on Earth that turned everyone to stone, and the people in, like, the village are the... There were a bunch of people in astronauts in a satellite, and they were spared because it didn't reach them. So they went back to Earth, and that, and then their descendants are the people who, you know, are at, like, the village that they found.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah, so we do not know what caused the stone thing yet. And in case you're wondering, we have not found out in the manga yet either. We have been given some hints and additional information, but do not know the full story yet.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's just, it's weird because they treat it all solemnly, but it still just doesn't seem like it's a plan that makes much sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, this was, I was excited for the return of Dr. Stone, but they basically wasted half of the episode, and then the next half was, I remember not liking this part in the manga, this specific part of the manga either, but I think things get more interesting after this, but yeah, this was, I think, not a great opening to the season.
Yeah, as long as this show stays away from, like, pseudosciences, then, you know, I'm fine with it. I mean, I get afraid every time someone says the word science, because it's the word science now contains like a political meaning to it now, anytime someone says it. And I'm saying, like, it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat, Republican, whatever, whenever someone says science, like, there's some sort of political undercurrent to it. So as long as this series stays away from that stuff, then I'll be perfectly happy for it. Just don't bring up some topics that will split the fan base. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, well, yeah. I mean, this is a manga series, so I'm sure, like, some stuff, some connotations of, like, that you're talking about with science, maybe that just isn't a thing in Japan.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, I was, like, you know, there are words that, like, mean the same thing, but then they lack some of the specific connotations when you cross language and such. Like, yeah. Here's a fun fact. Did you know that in German there are separate words for eat when, depending on whether the eating is being done by a human or an animal? Yes, there is. I don't understand why, but I'm sure a lot of people could look at a lot of stuff in English and just stare and say, why? There's got to be some language out there that like doesn't leave you with that many things. None of the major ones, as far as I can tell, make much sense, but that's language. Okay. So yeah, that was Dr. Stone. Then we move on to Black Clover episode 150. So this is kind of another one of those ones where we have two plots. The first one is just about Gray trying to overcome her shyness with Gauss's help. But then, you know, it's a whole... yeah, that's basically, that, And then meanwhile, they basically, the other thing is basically setting up what I think is going to be the next mini arc, which is some sort of joint training session thing where the captains fight against each other because they realized, hey, yeah, when they had that, that was popular in Bleach, right? So let's do that here.
Yeah. I like the whole thing. Hold on. Wait, where were we at again?
We were on Black Clover.
Okay, what happened to the food horse?
Oh yeah, you're completely right. I am an idiot. Food wars. I goofed up the order. I'm sorry for That's some okay. reason.
I just was so confused. I was like, wait a minute.
Okay. as long as I've done Black Clover, do you want to discuss that and then do Food Wars?
Yeah. We'll just continue Black Clover. I like the whole thing with Charlotte and still trying to get Yami's effects in, which that was pretty entertaining. But if I saw the right episode, that is.
No, that was the episode I saw, so.
Okay. Yeah, I love that storyline. I think that's just so cute. And it's funny, too. But the rest of it was just kind of like, okay, we need to make such a character useful again. So we have to have a nice training arc or whatever, training episode. So anyway, yeah, I thought it was actually a pretty good episode, though not perfect.
Well, I didn't really like the stuff with Charlotte and Yami as much, but on the other hand, I've seen more of Black Clover than you have, and I've seen more of them rehashing that gag, so it probably felt more fresh to you.
Yeah.
That part was a little more interesting. I mostly just, the first half with Gray, I just wasn't, I guess there were a few funny bits there, but still, it just kind of felt like a case of, well, what's Gray's main character trait? She's shy. All right, let's do it. Let's focus entirely on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I guess they felt, well, we had to have, the stuff is about training, so we had to come up with something to do with Gray, and hey, let's toss Sheen Gauss while we're at it. Then we can get finished with him, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now we move back to Food Wars, episode 49.
Okay, so Soma and the first seat are having their food battle, and we get a whole lot of fan service in this episode with Megumi and Hisako continually getting their clothes destroyed, and basically they have the meal, and Erina selects the first seats as the better one. So that means that Soma has to join Central, except no, he doesn't want him as part of Central. So we can give rid of that. And then we have this thing at the end where Erina's father shows up to see Erina, and people give him trouble. And then finally it's revealed that the person who Erina reveres so much just so happens to be Soma's father. And that's how the episode ends. And I think it's been two episodes in a row there's been no after credits scene. Am I right about that?
Well, that's because they isn't that because this episode, if I remember correctly, they did that thing where it's where the credits are rolling, but we're still seeing it's not over a black screen or an ending sequence, or it's just doing it during the episode.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's what I seem to recall happened. So it just kept continuing like that. So we didn't really have a post-credit sequence because that happened during the credits. Mm-hmm. You know, it's what they do when they feel, oh, well, we need to have this happen in the episode, but we don't have extra time for the credits, so we'll just do it over the credits, like they did for almost every episode of the second season of ReZero.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, well, this time I am not all confused about exactly what point we were in. So, since we've gotten that, I was able to go through it. And, yeah, it's a funny, episode. I guess it did kind of say that it was a case of, oh, well, Somo loses, but it didn't matter. So, but at least we got a kind of decent explanation for it. Also, I've mentioned it before, but I'm always like in the manga. The manga just had such a hilarious moment from Erina finding out where who Soma's father was, where she's like mentally going ah, and there's this, and you see like in the background all this stuff of where she basically was dismissive of Soma, and then she like almost faints from a shock of it, and then it completely out of the anime completely.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. You showed me that. That was mm-hmm. really funny. I think that could have been... They really could have done that a lot better. But, yeah.
Anyway, but other than that, which is a shame because I remember when that happened, I thought that was really funny. And I was like, ooh, well, I'm going to be excited for it in the anime. In fact, I'm not even going to wait. I'm going to see how it plays. And then before it aired here, then I checked, like, oh, it's not there.
Yeah.
But I mean, if an anime only watcher wouldn't have even known that was cut. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I still wish we had just seen a little more of a reaction from Erina. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's kind of that I'm talking about something that would have lasted like, you know, a few seconds. So we don't need more. So that's probably too much of an attention on that. In case anyone, hang on, what episode, wants to know what I'm talking about, it happens in chapter 151, pages 4 and 5. I wrote that down, so if anyone wants to know what I'm talking about, you can look it up there.
Okay.
Okay. So, yes, so that was Food Wars. We've done Black Clover due to me goofing stuff up. So that's our stuff on Toonami. We'll jump over to the other shows. We've got Baka and Test, episode 6.
Yeah. So as I told you, we get less and less plot every episode. And this one, it's the swimsuit episode, which, you know, I always talk about the swimsuit episode. Every anime needs one. So we got one here. And just pretty much shenanigans and stuff. And my favorite part is the whole thing about, is Hideyoshi a new gender? That I think is pretty funny. And it was just pretty much just wacky hijinks, as you've said a lot. And I thought it was really funny. I know they did repeat one of the jokes, which was like really weird the way they repeated it. But I think there was a lot of stuff in this that was supposed to be parody of something. And I don't know what it was a parody of. So I kind of missed it.
Which repeat of a joke are you referring to? Because there's a lot of jokes that got repeated in this episode.
Yeah, the bathroom one.
Oh, the one where they're like saying Hideyoshi should go with the girls, but then he's saying, no, yeah. I'm a guy. And then it turns out there's actually a separate bathroom just for him. That one actually... So, one of the biggest problem I had with this episode was that there are so many jokes that are repeated, not just like from previous episodes. It just reuses the same gags, but it repeats the same jokes within the episode. That was actually a point that was repeated that I thought was funnier because they repeated it, because them having it at the school, that's already weird, but you're like, okay, it's the school he goes to. But then there's randomly that just for this, like, saw, like, this hot springs they go to. And that made it even, and that made it funnier.
Yeah.
Because it makes even less sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was a petition I thought was funny. Other than that, though, there were so many jokes in this episode that were either just repetitions of stuff we did before or repetitions of things from this episode, and that really hurt it in my view. And honestly, I think this was my least favorite episode of the series so far, but it did still have a few funny jokes in it.
Yeah, see, I disagree. This is one of my favorites so far. Hmm. So, yeah.
Oh, actually, there was one other thing I wanted to... one other really good joke. Towards the end, where the schoolmaster guy just suddenly shows up after... I always get Yoshi and Hideyoshi's names mixed up. The main character is that Yoshi, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Great. I was even referring to Hideyoshi before, where he loses the, where he tries to have his avatar sneak in to look at the girls, but then it just gets beaten up by theirs, and then the principal guy at the school just shows up and grabs him and says, "Oh well, you need to be punished for losing the battle," which was kind of funny, but it also reminded me of. Did you ever watch Metabots?
Nope.
Okay. Well, it was this like. Series where, you know, people had these robots and they had them fight, and there's this character named Mr. Referee, who every single time two characters decided to have the battle would just show up and, you know, officiate it. And it didn't even matter if it made no sense for him to be there or whatever. Like, they're in like a junkyard and they're fighting, and he just randomly, they were in an alley, and he just randomly comes out of this trash can and announces, "This is the beginning of the meta battle." And you're like, so was he waiting in there or something? I don't know. It was a running gag that, in that show that was funny. Mm-hmm. Okay. Then we've got Kaguya-sama episode 6. So this was an episode, what was the order of the episodes Okay, so the first one was about how, we're introduced to Yu Ishigami, who you knew was going to be important because he shows up in the theme song, who basically is another member of the student council we haven't seen before, and he becomes terrified of Kaguya because he's convinced that she's going to try to kill him. But she makes him stay on the student council anyway. And the second one is another one of those ones where which is basically them trying to answer like those weird psych tests where you ask a question and you get an answer, and then, oh, that answer was reflective of something. Like, how many cats would you like? Well, that's reflective of how many kids you want. That sort of thing. Which, of course, is them then trying to outmaneuver each other and figuring out what the actual things were. And then the last one is just a one about Kaguya trying to get attention of from Shirogane by having a manicure, which he doesn't notice, but doesn't want to mention anything. So then she gets annoyed about it. And that was the episode.
Yeah, my favorite one of the three was the last one. I like the whole thing about how she went home thinking that he didn't like her nail polish, and then he goes, he rides a bike up, like he's going to do this dramatic thing where he says it, and then he just takes off again and kind of just leaves her there. And I'm like, well, at this point, I don't know how these two people could fall in love after this many times of doing this to each other. But the second one, I was like, okay, are they just reusing this thing? Like, we're going to keep on playing these games. And yeah, I didn't really like that one. And the first one was a problem for a different reason. And that problem was that I was trying to watch that late at night, so I had to have the volume down. And as a result, I couldn't hear what the hell that guy was even saying. So, yeah, that was on me. But, yeah.
So, in terms of those, I think the second one might have been my favorite, just because when they're asking about the flowers and Shirone's just it's just like, oh, like you can have as many as you want. How many would you take? And Shirogane is just like, I grab all of them because he's kind of poor, so he would want to just get all of them if they were free. That was good. On the whole, though, I didn't really care for this episode that much either. And I mentioned how the last one might have been my least favorite of Baka and Tetsu. This probably was my least favorite of Kaguya-sama. So it's a 2-4. Twofer. I mean, like that, there were some bits that I thought were kind of funny, but I don't know. I just didn't really feel the gags, for the most part, worked for me. Weirdly, I think the thing that I thought was the most amusing was something that was so low key. It's that sort of maid person for Kaguya, that part where at the start where she's with some friends and she's like super crazy casual, and then she's at work and she's like super, you know, like stiff and stuff. I was like, okay, that was actually something interesting to learn about her. But neither of our non-Toonami it's shows really did that much for me this week.
Okay.
So I guess we can jump into our top three stuff. Well, mm-hmm. For me, the top threes would be, in third place would be Black Clover, second place Food Wars, and then My Hero Academia actually beat everything else out and got it.
Yeah, well, mine are the same as always. Kaguya-sama in the third spot, Baka and Tetsu in the second spot, and the top spot to Food Wars. So there you have it.
Okay. Right. So, yep, that's our shows. We've got, nothing special is coming new this next week. We'll just be continuing with Dr. Stone and My Hero Academia. Maybe we'll get an actual full episode of Dr. Stone this time instead of half of one.
And do you see the good news? The good news is that Dragon Ball Super has been kicked out and moved to the back of the block. Starting June something, I forget when that is, but Dragon Ball Super has been demoted all the way down to 3:30 a.m., and that means that My Hero Academia will start things off from now on, and then Dr. Stone, and then Food Wars, then Promised Neverland, then Black Clover. So we're kind of getting what we wanted. Maybe this podcast made them make that decision because, you know, we have so many fans. But I was shocked whenever I saw this new lineup. I was like, wow, they're actually kicking out Dragon Ball Super. I don't know what suddenly made them do it now, but I'm thankful for it. That's for sure.
Yeah, this was, this was announced something 6 hours ago. Maybe a good thing we had to record this a day later than usual, because otherwise we wouldn't have known that. Yeah, that's surprising, especially because I read that Jason DeMarco, the guy, main guy in charge of Toonami, said, there's an interview with him, and they were talking about, you know, Dragon Ball Super, and he said something like, he was on some other Toonami podcast. Maybe if we could score him somehow, maybe we get more listeners. But, anyway, he was on some podcast, and he was saying, well, you know, it we always have that at the start, because even if it's reruns and such, it gets in more of like the sort of casual crowd, so we want to put it at the start. And that was like just a month ago or something, and now they're announcing, well, we're changing it. So that was a little weird. I think he said, well, I'm going by what other people said, he said, because I didn't check it out, but he said something like that they wanted to eventually move it, but they probably wouldn't be doing it anytime soon, and now suddenly they're doing it. So, yeah, that's a little weird. But, yeah, that works out great for me and you.
Yeah, especially me. So, what's that? That starts June 9th, I think, or June 6th? Or
it starts May 29th.
Oh, this week.
Next week, yeah. I guess it depends on how you're right, evaluating
week,
it.
Week. Yeah, you're right, next week. I don't know what I was thinking. I got confused there. Yeah. So next week. So that's very good news, because now we'll actually be able to stay up and watch stuff. So, well, actually stay up and watch even Black Clover with this new time. So, that's good.
Okay. So, yeah, that'll be something. Maybe we'll even watch and discuss The Promised Neverland. I haven't been really keeping up with it, but we'll be getting the later parts, and that's where everyone says the series just goes off like the rails, but I guess
it might be more entertaining.
I've just heard it might be interesting to see. I have not seen I wonder, come to think of it, let me check quick to see what how the ratings for it have been. I'm just mentioning, there didn't seem to be that much discussion of it when it was airing on Toonami, and I think that might have just been because so many people have been talking about how the ratings for it don't seem particularly bad. You know, it's better than Fire Force and worse than Food Wars, which is what it's between. That was the week before. The most recent week it actually dropped from Food Wars, and then Fire Force went up and did better than Food Wars, even slightly, maybe because it was the season finale or whatever. But so I don't know. I'd have to look at this again, but anyway, yeah. My point is, since the Promised Neverland season 2 being a disappointment was just like the talk of the anime community before it ever aired on Toonami, I wonder if that might have adversely affected how many people watched it. All right. Well, so that's all of that stuff. We will see you once again next week for Toonami Therapy. Past episodes available at toonamitherapy.podbean.com or wherever else we end up putting this up anywhere. We usually try to get these up on Friday, although we failed the last 3 weeks, I think. We might fail this week, too, because we're recording on Friday. But we'll find out. And hopefully next time we will not have to deal with my internet shorting out like that.
Yep.
It hasn't done that for quite a while. The way it did it was especially weird because even the phone wasn't working. Yeah, because it's through the phone service and such. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, guess that's it.
Yeah, unless you want to be nostalgic, or actually maybe the opposite of nostalgic, for the days of having to deal with stuff like dial-up. Remember when you couldn't even go on the internet and use the phone at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if you're young and you don't know what we're talking about, consider yourself fortunate in that area. And with that note off, we'll see you next time.
Bye.